Hey everybody, welcome back to Love Yourself First. It's been a while and I know, and I'm so sorry for that, but I've been waiting on confirmation for a long time now for my rape trial, and I haven't gotten full confirmation, but I've gotten enough confirmation for me to be able to just start talking about this now. I was going to tell my story, but I'm not ready and I'm sorry. I'll be ready one day, just not today. On top of it all, I'm not so sure that I want to continue this podcast right now. Just until at least I have my own space and I'm in a better mental state, because all of this that I've been sitting here dealing with, like, I've been dealing with a lot of legal stuff for months now, and I am exhausted in every way. Like, I can't right now. Like, it's really, really difficult, and honestly, depression has really been getting the best of me a lot because of all of this. Like, I need to take some things off my plate for a little bit and try to focus on, you know, just like one or two of my hobbies or something like that, instead of like all of them, like I'm trying to do. I can't do it all, not all the time. So I don't know. I can't do it right now. I'm sorry. Not to mention, like, you guys have no idea how difficult it is just to record an episode. Like, just now, this is my second time now trying to record this episode, and I'm hoping that this is the only other time that I'm going to have to try and re-record it, because every single time, I'm so serious, literally every single time I have sat down to record a podcast episode for you guys, my kids are absolute terrors. I literally tell them beforehand, I tell everybody in the household beforehand, please be quiet so I can please record my episode, and then I'll let you scream all day long, you know? And every single time, there's screaming, there's yelling, there's things, you know, being thrown or something like that, or they're coming and knocking on the door, asking for things that they could easily ask my boyfriend for, or that they know how to do on their own, but they just want to, you know, to be extra. Like, it happens every single time, and it just happened, like, just literally, like, 2 minutes ago, and yeah, so here we are again. So it's really frustrating for me. So the thing is that I record 99% of the time on my phone, so I can't just, like, stop it and start back up where I was. I have to completely start over, and it gets so, so annoying for that. So I can't, I'm sorry, I really can't do it right now. But, you know, once I move and everything, maybe things will start to get a little bit better. You know, I'll keep you all updated. I'll still obviously be on Instagram. You can still definitely hit up the page. We can still talk and all that, you know. It's just, don't expect any episodes for a little bit. So, without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and give a trigger warning, because today we're going to be discussing sexual assault, specifically my sexual assault, and just basically, I'm going to touch on, like, advice, I guess you could say, for those who are reporting or considering reporting, or maybe you already did and you're about to go through, you know, the trial or whatever the case may be. I'm just going to kind of touch on all of that and summarize what my, like, timeline of this reporting and all that is, because this is over the course of, like, 3 years at this point. It was back in April 2018, the day before my 21st birthday, and I reported it, I think, like, a week later, because I was still trying to regain my memory. For those who don't know, I was drugged and raped the day before my 21st birthday at my birthday party, and it's very traumatizing. It's very frustrating to this day that I still have a chunk of time missing that I can't recall. I wasn't there for it, you know, like, in my head, I wasn't there for it, you know. My body was there, but I wasn't, and I hate that so much, but we'll get through it, you know. So I reported it in the military. I was active duty still, and the person who raped me was also an active duty soldier who then went to South Korea afterwards. So I didn't know that he went to Korea at all, actually, for, like, the first 2 years of this process. So I was just kind of living in hardcore survival mode, looking over my shoulder every 2 seconds, terrified anytime I saw someone that remotely resembled him, and freaking out pretty much all the time. And it was hell. I was sleeping with knives under my pillows. An extra one would be under my mattress in case someone would take the one under my pillow. There would be something tucked into the cushions of the couch, or there would be a weapon nearby in general for pretty much the past 2 years of my life. And now I'm a lot better. I'm still in survival mode. I still always keep in mind that everything is a weapon. Absolutely everything is a weapon. And I just kind of always glance around, you know? I always look for an exit route when I enter any room, any building. I always look for the closest weapons around me whenever I'm in any surrounding. I just check everything that I can. You know, I'm very observant of other people who are around me, situationally aware and everything. Like, I'm like on high alert all the time. But the good thing is that I'm no longer sleeping with knives. I no longer have, you know, weapons tucked into the cushions or anything like that. You know, it's just now I'm just a lot more aware of everything around me. I refuse to take any drinks that are made for me from someone else. It took me a while just to trust my own boyfriend to make a drink for me. It's hard. I'm not gonna lie, it's hard. I don't drink at parties for real. It's just, yeah. So, anyway, back to the story. So I reported it when I was an active duty soldier, and when you're in the military, you can make two different types of sexual assault reports. It's restricted and unrestricted. Restricted means that your report will go on file. It will be there in your file and everything for, you know, I think a certain number of years or something like that. And that's pretty much it. You know, it just sits there. And if that person pops up on the radar again, you know, for assaulting someone else, they might hit you up and ask, you know, hey, do you want to participate in this trial? Because, you know, this person was also assaulted and they want to go through with a trial and, you know, blah, 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 blah. So I made it restricted, and I tried to just kind of go on with my life after that, because I had just separated from my ex-husband as well. So I was dealing with a lot of trauma right there. Like, I was in a very, very dark place. I know many of you have already heard many of the other episodes where I've discussed some of the situations I went through with my ex, and you already know, man. You know, you already know. I was tore the hell up. Okay, you just imagine that, like, just from what you've heard on any of the other episodes about what I went through with the abuse with my ex, and then to leave him and then just get raped like a month later, that's insanity. Like, it's literally just cruel to me. Like, to this day, I still just look at it like that's such a cruel thing for the universe to do to me, to be honest. I'm blaming the universe in a way. I really am, but you know, that's just me projecting, and it's not right for me to do that, so I try not to do that. I always try to find some type of blame because I haven't healed from this yet, so yeah, we're getting there. We're working on it, you know? So after I reported it, and I ended up getting out of the military at that point, I think that's when I started my transition out of the military, actually. Because I was already in the process of getting out of the military. It was already decided. I had officially been out of the military in July of that same year, though. So during that transition process, I was negatively coping with everything that happened. I was blocking it out anyway and every way that it possibly could. I was drinking a lot with my friends. And then I got to a point where I felt everything all the time, and it hurt so bad. And then I would feel nothing at all, absolutely nothing. No pain, no sadness, no empathy, no sympathy, no compassion, no love, no happiness, just nothing, just completely numb to the world. And it happened like that for a while after it all happened. And about 8 months later, it was early November, I went to have my case reopened and decided to turn it to unrestricted and have it investigated, because I couldn't keep going on that way. And I also, right after that, decided to contact the Veterans Affairs VA to get me into counseling for PTSD and depression and anxiety. and military sexual trauma. And that was one of the greatest decisions that I had made at that point, because to this day, I still have the same therapist, and she has helped me so, so, so much. And Ceci, if you're listening, you have no idea how grateful I am to you. She's taught me so many different tips and techniques that I've shared with many of you already, and I am so grateful for that. Therapy was one of the best things that I could have done, because not only did I get to heal from all of the other times that I've been raped, but now I'm going to be able to get a chance to finally heal from this situation as well, with it being technically over at this point. And then I can finally also get into healing from my ex, because I'm really still having a hard time with that. So, and I'm not saying like that I miss him or anything, just to clarify that. I'm saying that he really messed me up so bad that I'm still dealing with undoing all the manipulation and brainwashing that he did. And that's why I had a really bad day yesterday as well, because there's other things going on in my life right now. So after I made the decision to, you know, have it investigated and everything, the investigation took like, I want to say half a year for them to complete. And so it was about summertime 2019 that I got like periodic updates pretty much at that point about what was happening with my case, because my lawyer like literally would just dip out for months at a time, and I didn't know where he was, what was going on in my case, like nothing. I didn't know anything. Like, I'm sitting here thinking that this is going to be a quick process, because generally it is a quick process. Like, all of my lawyers that I've dealt with, and yes, I just said lawyers plural because I'm gonna get to that, all the lawyers that I dealt with, they all sat there and told me that cases in the military don't sit on their desk longer than 6 months. Mine had already been sitting way longer. So they told me like off and on that it was like this process of, okay, the prosecutors had to switch out, you know, they had to PCS to their next duty station. So now we have new prosecutors coming in. And then that just kept on like happening. Like, it happened, I think, four or five times. That happened. They came back and told me, oh, there's, you know, it's another switch out, you know, another switch out. So I had to keep on having all these new people come in, learn my case, tell me that, you know, okay, we're going to have this happen, and then nothing happens. Then they rotate out, and then another person comes in, they have to learn my case. And it just kept on happening like that, like over and over and over again, and nothing was being done. So he was never officially charged until 2020. So in 2020, they decided that they were going to go ahead and finally have the trial. And they decided that in December is when they wanted me to leave. They wanted me to go to Korea for this trial. And I was just like, why does the victim have to travel to the attacker? Why doesn't the attacker have to travel to where the victims, plural, are? So they were telling me I had to go and buy a passport and all of this, and I'm like, I'm not paying for anything. What? This is insanity, you know? Like, I'm just sitting here like, you want me to just instantly shovel out all this money for a passport, expedited passport at that, and then on top of it all, leave for an entire month away from my kid to Korea for this trial, like, as if I can just pick up and leave like that, like, the day after Christmas? So it was going to be a whole hassle. So I didn't even end up getting the passport in time, because I kept on sitting there like, I'm not going to Korea. It's not happening. I'm not going. So since I didn't apply for the passport in time, they said that they were going to postpone the trial until I had one. And then it was like, okay, we're going to do February. I said, no, my son's birthday is in February. I'm not leaving the country. No, it's not happening. And this was all during COVID too. So I'm sitting here like, bro, why should I have to do that? Like, no. Because also, there were multiple victims in this case, so it's just like, why would you have multiple people fly out to Korea when it's just like one or two people that has to fly out of Korea to us? You know, it's less government money spent, it's less time consumed, it's less burden on the victims, because there shouldn't be any burden on the victims as it is, because we're already dealing with the fact that we're goddamn victims. Like, come on now. So then they said that they were going to have it in March, and it was like officially set, you know, it was supposed to be like the last week of March, and it was just going to be a week at that point that I'd be gone. And I was like, okay, I think that's doable then. And I arranged for my mom to come down to me and watch my son while I was gone for about a week. She ended up spending like $1,000 to get her car and everything situated for her to come down. And then in the day before she came down, they told me that the trial had been postponed yet again. So then they scheduled it for, I want to say April, I think it was. Yeah, it was April. And it got to about a week before the trial was supposed to happen again. And then they said that they were going to postpone the trial yet again. And that was my last straw. That was my last straw at that point. I had already around December time told them that I didn't want to participate in the trial anymore. Because I had to really think about it, you know. I can't leave my kid here to stay with his father who doesn't, you know, take care of him properly and who my son doesn't even like, you know, doesn't feel safe with and tells me that he's abusing him and all that. You know, I couldn't just leave him here with that for a whole month, you know, not know where mommy is, not get to see mommy, not get to talk to mommy, none of that. And then it was like Christmas time too. So I'm like, no, there's just no way I can't do this. So I chose my son over the trial in general. And I don't regret that at all. I'll do it 1,000 times. I'll do it 1,000,000 times. I'll do it infinitely. I'll choose my child over everybody every time. So I wasn't even mad, honestly. Like, I was just kind of like happy to be over it. But then they, you know, they came back and they're like, okay, well, they want to do the trial in February. They moved it to Fort Bliss since, or no, to Fort Hood, Texas, since, you know, you were saying that you couldn't go to Korea or whatever. I'm like, so because I back out of the trial, now y'all want to move it. Okay. So, because I'm telling you, I had been begging for the trial to be in the United States, like, for 2 years. And they were like, no, we can't do that. It's too late. It's too late. And I'm like, okay, well, then I'm not doing it. And they're like, oh, well, now we can move it. Like, fuck out of here. So, I was done. I texted my lawyer immediately once I got the news that it had been postponed. And I didn't even care. Like, I got the email like super late at night because it came from Korea. And I immediately, as soon as I texted my lawyer, I was just like, no, I'm done. I'm done. And she hadn't even read the email yet. So she was just like, what? But I immediately was just like, I can't. So she already understood after she read her email and everything. And she went ahead and went with the process of, you know, kind of just advocating to tell everyone, like, this is messed up. You shouldn't have done this to her. Like, that was very, like, cruel of you, all that, you know, and she handled it for me. And now we're in the situation of he's apparently supposed to be court-martialed and chaptered out of the military with a other than honorable discharge. And he has to be on a sex offender list, I think, or something like that. But I haven't had confirmation of any of that, so I don't really know what's happening. I was supposed to get confirmation of that 2 weeks ago and still have nothing, so I have no idea what's going on, but as far as I know, that's what the route is supposed to be currently, is that they're going to just chapter him out of the military, which, you know, in short terms just means he's getting kicked out. But I don't know, you know, I don't really know where things go from there. So that's the timeline, really, that I went with or went through this entire process, and it's been very hectic, very, very, very discouraging, but I've held on as long as I could. So now we're gonna get into the advice that I'm going to give, because this is all I could do for myself this entire time. So make sure that you've worked through all of your feelings on the matter before you go through this process of, you know, reporting and everything, because you don't want to, you know, get cold feet or whatever whenever you go to report it, or, you know, regret reporting it or something like that. So just make sure, like, that you've really, like, weighed the pros and cons of this, like, that you fully understand what you're about to get into. And think about, like, you know, like, what outcome do you want? You know, are you prepared to fight if you have to fight for this? Because let's be honest, you just got to look at the news and see how rape cases and trials are going in the United States and in the military. That's all you got to do, is just look at the news. And it's sad that I just have to say that, and just about everyone already knows what I'm talking about. So that's what I'm saying. Are you prepared to fight? Because if you're not prepared to fight, you're not ready to report it. You need to be prepared to fight. I'm telling you, like, you're not ready if you haven't sat there and really thought about the fact that you're really going to have to argue this matter when you go to court, then just wait until you're ready. Wait until you're ready, I'm telling you. I mean, if you want to go and report it, this is if you're military at least. I don't know the whole process of if there's like a restricted way of reporting it civilian way, but I know in the military, like if you're in the military, I highly recommend that you at the very least do report restricted. Every single time that this happens to anybody in the military, I always, always, always recommend you at least, at the very least, do a restricted report. Because at least it's there, and you can always, always, always go back and say, hey, I want it unrestricted. The only thing is that once you have filed an unrestricted report with the military, you cannot restrict that report. So it's either unrestricted or it's restricted. So you gotta figure that out. So next, are you prepared to see your attacker in court if need be? Because if you are going to go through with the process of a full trial and everything like that, you will be seeing them in court, because there's constitutional rights that, you know, they are allowed and they have the right to have their trial and face their accuser in court. That's just a constitutional right, and there's no fighting that. There's no getting around it. I'm sorry. So make sure you've worked through all of your feelings on the matter. Think about all those questions I just said. What outcome do you want? Do you want them to go to jail? Do you want them to pay for their crime? Do you want them to do community service? You know, whatever the case may be, you need to work through all of that and be logical about it. Try not to think with just your anger and your rage or your hurt. Think logically. Keep in mind that this can take a very long time. Be prepared to wait for both logical and illogical reasons for it all to be happening as well, because throughout this entire time, you know, like I said, this is from 2018, now we're in 2021, and I still haven't even gotten confirmation that this man has been, you know, charged or kicked out of anything, or, you know, gotten his official convictions or whatever. You know, I still don't have confirmation of any of that. So, I mean, I've gotten all these, like, illogical reasons for all of it, you know, just like the trial being postponed because he scheduled a surgery, but the surgery was, like, you know, prior to the time frame or whatever, and he actually was medically cleared to go ahead and participate in the trial, but the judge decided to rule that we were going to postpone the trial anyway despite him being medically fit to stand trial. So that's just an illogical reason for me, and there's like a billion more, but I'm not going to get into all that. So when you feel ready and mentally prepared, understand that it won't be easy, but it won't be impossible either. You're going to have to tell your story repeatedly. Like, repeatedly, repeatedly. Like, you're going to be torn apart on the stand. That's exactly what my lawyers told me. And, like, at first I thought that they were trying to discourage me, but no, they're being as honest as they can. You're going to have to tell your story in such vivid detail on this stand. And the defense is, it's their job to discredit you. It's their job to make you look like a liar or in some way make you look crazy or something like that. It's their job to do that. You know, it's going to suck because you're just in your head and in your heart, you're sitting there like, how dare you look me in the eyes and try to tell me that I'm lying, that I'm crazy. You can see directly into my soul that I'm hurting from this. And you're trying to fight for this person who did it. You know, it hurts. It hurts you. It really does. But you have to be ready for that. You have to figure out, you know, what exactly it is that you're going to keep in your mind to keep you motivated. You know, and for me, that was being able to be the best mother that I can be for my son, because I know that when I'm healed from this, I can be an even better mother, because I know that I'm not the world's best mother in the entire world or anything. I know I'm not. Because I'm not completely healed from this. But when I am, I'm going to be an amazing mother all over again. And I'm going to be okay. So just keep this all in mind. That it can be, and none of this is to discourage you. This is just the cold hard truth about it all. And the truth is not something that we're all ready to hear sometimes. But, you know, here it is. It's not going to be easy. The road to justice is long, it's rough, and it's challenging. But if you think you can do it, then do it. if you really believe in yourself, if you really believe that you can handle it, just do it. Do it. Keep in mind that, you know, you can actually choose to not go forward up until the point that someone says it's too late for that. So that's what I did back in December when they were sitting here telling me, you know, that I'd have to travel to Korea. At that point, I had decided to back out and I didn't want to go forward with it anymore. But then my lawyer, she came back and she had talked to me again like the next month or whatever after Christmas break and everything. And she said that, what did she say? Oh, yeah. She was telling me that they were, you know, how they were changing the trial to be here and all this stuff in the United States and all that. And she's just, you know, roped me back into it. And I was like, all right, fine. I don't mind traveling, you know, 10 hours east or whatever. It's different than traveling all the way to, well, 10 hours of a drive at least. Different than traveling to another country, you know? So she roped me back into it. But then all that stuff happened and I was just like, nah, I can't do it. I can't do it. So she said that, you know, it's not recommended that I forfeit the trial, like, now that it's been moved or whatever, unless there's, like, you know, an outstanding circumstance. And now there is an outstanding circumstance because they postponed it again and again and again and again to the point where it's just like, you can't keep doing this to me, pulling me back and forth. It's like giving me mental whiplash. So it's been really difficult because all month long in March, I prepared for the trial, right? Just for them to tell me no trial. Then all month in April, I prepared for it just for them to tell me again, no trial. I can't keep going through the mental and emotional roller coaster. I can't. So I quit and I don't regret it at all. I really don't. Do I wish that things could have went differently? Absolutely. But things happened this way. And honestly, maybe it was better this way. Moving forward. Ignore the naysayers who tried to discredit you or shut your story down. There were a lot of people like this in my life. I don't know if I ever said his name. I'm not going to say his name. We're going to call him Rob. Rob, I met Rob before I had met my boyfriend. In the months of, during my, you know, up and down roller coaster of coping mechanism. That's when I met him, during my tough time. And I met Rob and I told him about my story, and then, you know, he had, you know, kind of got a close bond, I guess you could say, for a little bit. And then when I told him that I was going to go and report my case and everything as unrestricted and everything, he tried to discredit me and he tried to shut my story down. And he said, it's already been like months. You're not going to get anything to happen. You know, he's probably gotten away with it at this point. They're not going to care what you have to say since it's been months now. Like, who cares? Just let it go. And I was just like, oh, well, I care. And I know that there are millions of women around the world who also care that I'm going to take this step. So I'm going to do it regardless of what you think. So, yeah, Rob ended up, you know, getting kicked the fuck out of my life. But you got to ignore those people because there's going to be a lot of those people that try to say stuff like that. And even somebody close to me, and I still hold on to this a little bit, I'm not going to lie. Someone close to me said, well, didn't you let him in your house? Well, then there you go. I don't see you, you know, being able to win it. You let him in your house. And I was just like, I'm sorry. What? What? Don't even got to get into why that just sounds ass backwards. Anyway, what it boils down to is how much you're willing to go through, put up with, and what you can handle. And that's all up to you to figure out and decide. You know, whatever you think you can handle, by all means, get it done, get it over with. I personally just can't do it anymore for the sake of my sanity and my mental health. Like, my cup is empty, bone dry right now. If circumstances were different, you know, I would continue. But I've just been dealing with so much legal stuff with my ex and then this and then, you know, all the stuff with me moving and all that for months now. It's been so much. I just don't have the energy anymore. I can't anymore. And I'm sorry for that. But oh well, you know. So there's nothing that I can say or do that will truly make you be ready for whatever happens next. But I can tell you, you need to go into every situation with your head held high and avoid any negative what-ifs that present themselves. And I mean, if those negative what-ifs come from you or they come from somebody else, block all them out instantly. Like, I'm talking about as soon as you even have the thought of, man, but what if this happened? Nope. Cut it off right then and there. Don't even let the whole sentence come out of your brain, mouth, whatever. Cut it off immediately. No. There's no what if. Just stay positive. Keep your head held high and keep your hopes up. Hope for the best. Prepare for the worst. It's all you can do. That's literally it. You know, this is all a test of your own mental stability and everything at this point, honestly. That's what it is. So you have to figure that out for yourself. You know, I can't tell you that. You know, I can't tell you that this is going to be something that you're ready for or whatever. Only you can decide that. So if you want to talk further about it or whatever, you know, feel free to message me. We can definitely talk about it if you're thinking about wanting to report or whatever. I highly recommend reporting it no matter what, either way it goes, because I just try to think about the fact that I could save other people from going through what I go through. That's what kept me going most of the time, was reminding myself that I was going to be protecting other people from this person. I was going to save other women from being assaulted by him, because after he raped me, he went on to other duty stations to rape other women and assault other women. That's why there were multiple victims involved in my case. So that's why I'm highly, highly encouraged, or highly encouraging reporting, because at the end of the day, we may still have to deal with our own hurt and our own trauma, but I would much rather have to find a way to deal with my trauma rather than have to see somebody go through exactly what I had to go through, because I couldn't, you know, because I couldn't do something to protect them, you know. And and that's my fault, because I have this big heart, this compassion, you know. My humanity is huge. It really is. I really, really care so deeply about other people. Like, I literally saw a motorcycle accident on the highway and I cried. The dude was perfectly fine. You know, he was okay. You know, just a little bruised up, but he was okay. And I cried. I cried right then and there, because I sat there and I'm like, that could have been so, so bad. You know, he could have died right there in front of my eyes. And it hurt me. My heart hurts when I see other people hurting. I cry when I see other people cry. Like, it's so, so frustrating sometimes for me, because I have such a soft heart. But it's whatever you can handle. Like I said, whatever you know that you can handle, because you know yourself better than I do. So if you know you can handle it, by all means, you know, more power to you. You have my full support, whether you report it or whether you don't. But just know that I'm highly recommending that you do. I won't think anything different of you if you do or don't, though. I understand. You know, it took me a while to go through the process myself, so I can't sit there and tell anybody else, you need to report it right now, right now. Like, I would never do that to somebody. Like, it was so, so hard all those months. All those months that went by before I had it unrestricted, it was so hard for me. And I'm so glad that that's all behind me now, and I've learned so much more about myself, and I've gotten so much better, because it's hell. It really is hell dealing with something like this. So, in closing, how much time, how much energy, how much of that do we waste worrying about what will happen, and in turn, nothing happens? Or things just go fine. Think about that. And I mean, really think about that. How often does that happen for you? It just recently happened with my boyfriend. His daughter was sick. And I kept on explaining, you know, it's probably just a cold. It's really nothing big. But he was so, so worried about it. And he really, like, was thinking the absolute worst. And I said, think about how often you're sitting here worrying about something, and everything goes fine. Now look at her. Over her cold, just fine, not sick anymore. And he was sitting there worried, sick for days, freaking out, panicking because she had a cold and he thought it was something so much worse. Just consider that. So don't sit here thinking about this process of, oh, you know, what will happen next? What will happen next? Just think about what you can control, because you can't control what's going to happen next. You can't control what other people are going to do in this situation. You can't control what the outcome of the trial will be, or the case, or the investigation, or whatever. You can't control any of that. Focus on what you can control and nothing more. And don't sit there and worry about everything all the time. Worrying is the death of us. So I think that about covers as much of it as I can without going too long into this. And I guess maybe the next time you hear from me, it'll either be a meditation video or maybe I'll be ready to tell my story. I don't know. But I hope this helps somebody. And, you know, feel free to reach out on Instagram. Like I said, I'll still be active on Instagram. I'll still be posting on Instagram. I just won't be posting any episodes for a little bit. And I hope that that's okay with everybody. Because I'm still available, you know. You can still talk to me. We can still be friends. Go get ice cream or something, you know. Cry about things together. It's all good. It's all good. Thank you all so much for your support and always listening and sharing this podcast with your loved ones. All my new listeners, thank you for finding me and listening along. And I hope that, you know, you are feeling welcome into this little family that I'm trying to create of people who are trying to get better. So thanks as always, guys. Be safe.